Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, June 7th, 2020. I'm reading on Thursday, June 11th. I'll begin with today's stories and then work my way back through the week. Coronavirus update, June 11th. San Angelo and Tom Green County sees 8 new cases related to COVID-19 from staff reports. Testing for the coronavirus in Tom Green County began February 29th. This article will be updated daily with information provided by the San Angelo Tom Green County Health Department via the City of San Angelo. As of 1:25 p.m. June 11th, 130 positive cases reported, 8 new positive, 25 patients being monitored, 1 death. New patients include woman in her 20s, community spread, man in his 30s, community spread, Coke County man in his 70s, exposure to known case, Coke County young male, exposure to known case, man in his 20s, pending, woman in her 30s, pending, man in his 40s, pending, woman in her 30s, exposure to known case. San Angelo police locate stolen vehicles from car lot, now looking for suspects involved, by Rosanna Aguilera. San Angelo police located 2 vehicles from a car lot and now are looking for suspects involved, according to a news release. On Tuesday, June 9th, San Angelo police were dispatched to Honda of San Angelo, 4334 Sherwood Way, for the report of a burglary of a building and stolen cars from the lot. Further investigation revealed 3 vehicles had been stolen, as well as numerous vehicle key fobs and various electronic equipment, the release stated. 2 of the 3 stolen vehicles have since been found and recovered in San Angelo. The 3rd stolen vehicle was recovered out in the county. If you have any information about the incident or suspects involved, contact the San Angelo Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division at 325-659-8016. Victoria's Secret in San Angelo to close permanently, says Sunset Mall spokesperson, by Rosanna Aguilera and John Tufts. The Victoria's Secret outlet in San Angelo will close permanently, according to a spokesperson with the Sunset Mall. I can confirm they are closing, but I don't have a date, said General Manager Sabrina Force on Wednesday, June 10th. L Brands, its parent company, announced May 20th that Victoria's Secret plans to permanently close approximately 250 stores in the U.S. and Canada in 2020. Since almost all of the company's stores have been closed since mid-March, its sales have declined 37% in the quarter that ended May 2nd. Victoria's Secret has 1,091 stores in the U.S. and Canada, with 909 U.S. Victoria's Secret stores and 144 Pink stores, according to a USA Today article. The company says it will close 235 U.S. Victoria's Secret and 3 Pink stores. Interim Victoria's Secret CEO Stuart Burgdorfer said that closings would occur over the next several months and additional closings were anticipated. We would expect to have a meaningful number of additional store closures beyond the 250 that we're pursuing this year, meaning there will be more in 2021 and probably a bit more in 2022, Burgdorfer said. Library Adjusts to Life After COVID-19 Lockdown, by Colin Murphy. Like much of Tom Green County, the library system is adjusting to life after the lockdown due to the spread of the coronavirus over the past few months. And like many of the other public institutions the community is used to relying upon, the library is reestablishing connections, according to safety protocols, with patrons eager to return to what life was like before the pandemic. According to Library Director Jill Donegan, the public library is used to doing business one-on-one with many customers, spending as much time as they wanted in their facilities. Unfortunately, all of the personal interaction with the public and traditional customer service changed once the coronavirus pandemic started to move across the country in early March. I think the biggest changes you will see in visiting the public library right now is that we want people to do their business and move on, Donegan said. Usually, we want you to enjoy the space, but we just can't really encourage that right now. We are trying to be as hands-off as we possibly can, encouraging patrons to use our self-checkouts and exterior book drops. Anything we can do to discourage face-to-face interaction and coming into the building, which sounds horrible. Donegan said the biggest challenge over the course of the past few months was having to completely change the traditional model of how a public library operates within a community. We've had to develop a service style that goes against everything we stand for, Donegan said. We have to discourage people from coming to the library and spending time here. We are not able to provide the type of customer service we typically would. We've had to put some limits in space. We are having to go against everything we believe in on a regular basis. Many of the programs people are used to seeing from the library were also put on hold. Donegan said some have been transitioned to virtual or online programs. As for the future, Donegan said the plan is to continue to consult with other library systems in other cities about how they are adapting and continue to practice safety protocols. I just don't know when we will be able to offer services that bring people together, which is unfortunate, Donegan said. We had so many programs scheduled that couldn't take place. We are exploring ways to still reach our patrons, but it's still online. We appreciate how cooperative people have been with the policies we have in place. We look forward to the day when we can resume complete normal operations. Affidavit states San Angelo man assaults sibling with knife, threatened to kill, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after his brother's neck was cut, according to an arrest affidavit. On Tuesday, June 9th, police responded to a report of a person with a weapon in the 2500 block of Southwest Boulevard. Notes on the call stated that the caller's brother threatened to kill them and had a knife, records state. Upon arrival, officers saw the man leave the front passenger seat of a 2019 gray Ford F-150 and found a knife stabbed into the front center console. Officers also noticed a cut on his brother's neck, consistent with a knife, according to the affidavit. The man told officers he was taking his brother back to a hotel room from a bar when the brother grew angry for a reason they couldn't understand, records state. The brother opened a pocket knife, threatened to kill the sibling, and punched him in the face several times. The man told his brother to leave the vehicle, which he refused to do, and cut the man's neck with the pocket knife, records state. The caller left the vehicle and started taking video as his brother continued making death threats. Police reviewed the video and heard the caller ask what would happen if they got in the vehicle. The brother responded that he would kill them, according to the affidavit. Brandon James Fitzgibbon, 48, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $35,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. San Angelo police search for man missing since 2012. Asks for public's help, by Elena Edgen. San Angelo police are asking people to help locate a man who has been missing for over 8 years, according to Tom Green County Sheriff's Office's Facebook. Gregory Scott Ford, who would now be aged 57 to 58, was last seen in downtown San Angelo around 4 a.m. February 28, 2012. He has light brown hair, green eyes, and weighs 145 pounds and is 5'9", according to the Post. Ford was booked into Tom Green County Jail on suspicion of public intoxication February 27, 2012, and was released on bond soon after. Online jail records show the man listed a Houston address at the time. If someone has information on Ford's whereabouts, contact the police dispatch at 325-657-4315. San Angelo police arrest man for hit and run that injured two motorcyclists, by Rosanna Aguilera. The San Angelo Police Department has arrested a man involved in a hit and run Sunday that left two motorcyclists injured. About 7:50 p.m. Sunday, June 7th, police responded to a motorcycle vehicle collision at the intersection of West Avenue L and South Bryant Boulevard. Two motorcyclists, a 58-year-old man and 35-year-old woman, had incapacitating injuries from the collision and were transported to a hospital, according to a news release. The preliminary investigation discovered a white 2007 Ford F-150 pickup struck a 2015 Harley-Davidson motorcycle, which was traveling north on South Bryant Boulevard. One of the motorists had broken bones and a brain bleed. He was transported to Lubbock for surgery. The passenger had non-life-threatening injuries. After the collision, the driver left the pickup near Santa Fe Furniture and Gifts and walked eastbound on West Avenue L, according to the release. Travis Christian, 45, was arrested Tuesday, June 9th, and charged with accident involving serious bodily injury. He remains in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $15,000 bond as of 10 a.m. Wednesday. San Angelo resident apprehends Stripes robbery suspects until police arrive, by Elena Edgen. Early Tuesday morning, three people attempted to rob a San Angelo Stripes, but were apprehended by a bystander, according to a news release. Just before 2 a.m. Tuesday, June 9th, the San Angelo police were dispatched to the Stripes at 1606 La Follette Street for the report of a robbery in progress. When units arrived, they learned from a store employee that a witness inside the store apprehended one of the robbers, later identified as 19-year-old John Mark Guerra, according to the release. The preliminary field investigation revealed a 16-year-old female suspect was in the process of committing a beer theft. When the witness attempted to apprehend her, Guerra and another male suspect jumped out of a white passenger car and began assaulting him. The Good Samaritan, who sustained injuries during the assault, was able to detain Guerra and return him to the store until police arrived, the release stated. The 16-year-old female suspect returned to the store on her own, but the second male suspect fled, and his identity and whereabouts are unknown. Both Guerra and the juvenile female suspect were charged with robbery. Guerra was transported to the Tom Green County Jail with a $35,000 bond. The female was transported to the Tom Green County Juvenile Justice Center. If you have any information about this incident or the identity and whereabouts of the third suspect, contact the San Angelo Police Department at 325-657-4347. Early morning crash in Santa Rita neighborhood results in DWI charge. No apparent injuries, by Jen Guadarrama. Police officers arrested a man on charges of driving while intoxicated after a vehicle slammed into a parked pickup in the Santa Rita neighborhood early Tuesday. Shortly before 2 a.m. Tuesday, June 9th, tires could be heard squealing in the area of Highland Boulevard and Kenwood Drive, followed by a loud crash, area residents described as sounding like an explosion. A man driving a Toyota Highlander with paper license plates slammed into the rear of a pickup parked in front of a home in the 1100 block of Kenwood Drive. The force of the crash pushed the pickup roughly 40 feet into a Jeep parked nearby. The pickup's owners said they purchased the vehicle days earlier after a severe hailstorm totaled their other vehicles. Still, they were grateful the driver appeared uninjured. Investigating officers gave the driver a field sobriety test then restrained him in handcuffs and transferred him to Tom Green County Jail. The driver was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated, with bond set at $1,000, and he was released before 10 a.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. The Standard Times is not naming the driver because the charge is a misdemeanor offense. If convicted, the driver could face between 3 and 180 days in jail, up to a $2,000 fine, and a driver's license suspension. Reynolds County Sheriff's Office seizes over 400 grams of meth in weekend drug busts, by Bill Hancock, Reynolds County Register. During the first week of June, the Reynolds County Sheriff's Office conducted an investigation into possible narcotics trafficking from Tom Green County into Reynolds County. The investigation resulted in 3 arrests and 4 felony charges, along with the seizure of over 400 grams of methamphetamine and 10 grams of cocaine, officials said. On June 3rd, Reynolds County deputies stopped a vehicle believed to be transporting narcotics in Miles, Texas. During the vehicle's traffic stop, deputies called for a canine, which alerted officers to the presence of narcotics inside the vehicle. Deputies discovered and seized 397.3 grams of methamphetamine. Nicole Ann Galindo, 33, of San Angelo, was arrested on suspicion of manufactured delivery of a controlled substance. Her bond was set at $20,000. Galindo had not made bond as of June 8. Douglas Martinez, 28, of San Angelo, was arrested on suspicion of manufactured delivery of a controlled substance. Martinez's bond was set at $20,000. Martinez made bond June 5. The charges are first-degree felonies in Texas and punishable by 5 to 99 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. The narcotics busts didn't stop there. On June 6th, the Reynolds County Sheriff's Office conducted another traffic stop of a vehicle believed to be transporting illegal narcotics into Reynolds County. The traffic stop was in the parking lot of Allsup's convenience store on Hutchins Avenue in Ballinger. A search of the vehicle was conducted, and about 19.8 grams of a substance that tested positive for the presence of methamphetamine, as well as roughly 10 grams of a substance that tested positive for the presence of cocaine, were located. Christopher Stephen Roman, 39, was arrested on suspicion of 2 counts of manufacture, delivery of a controlled substance. Both of those charges are also second-degree felonies, which carries a sentence ranging from 2 to 20 years and a fine up to $10,000. Bond was set at $15,000 per charge. Roman made bond June 7th. Reynolds County Sheriff Carl Squires thanked the deputies involved in the arrests. 2 of the deputies that helped in these arrests were off duty and came to work the cases, Squires said. The sheriff said he believes the majority of the methamphetamine in Reynolds County is being brought into the area and isn't manufactured in the county. I'd say about 99% of the meth is coming from Mexico and is trafficked into the county from Abilene and San Angelo, Squire said. San Angelo man indicted in 2019 negligent homicide of Briella Armstrong, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been indicted nearly a year after the death of Briella Armstrong, according to court documents. An indictment filed May 19, 2020, states that on July 1, 2019, the man caused the death of Briella Armstrong by bundling and positioning her in a manner that caused an accentuation and retention of body heat to an excessive degree. He also failed to notice her distress while she was in his care, the indictment states. The indictment did not list Briella's age. Trevor Ryan Armstrong, 30, was arrested just after 8 a.m. Monday, June 8, 2020, on suspicion of criminal negligent homicide. He was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $10,000 bond about 2 hours later, according to online jail records. Criminal negligent homicide is a state jail felony punishable by between 180 days to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Allison Palmer, 51st district attorney, couldn't speak to the details of the case, but was able to generally explain the charge. Criminal negligence means the offender ought to have been aware of the risk and what it would create as a result, Palmer said. They should have been aware of what they were doing. Affidavit states go-kart dispute in San Angelo leads to gunfire and threats of rape, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo man fired gunshots at another man after go-karts were damaged during a race at WFO Motorsports Park, according to a news release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. At 3:26 a.m. Saturday, June 6th, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to the 2300 block of Copper Rock Road for a report of shots fired, according to the release. Deputies made contact with the resident, who stated he saw a white vehicle drive past his residence, then turn around before coming to a stop near his driveway. He said a person inside the vehicle got out and began yelling his name. The suspect then began firing multiple gunshots toward him. The victim stated he feared for his life and returned fire, the release stated. The resident fired one round from his handgun toward the defendant, the sheriff's news release states. During the investigation, it was learned that on Friday, June 5th, there had been an argument between the two over damage to go-karts sustained during a race at the WFO Motorsports Park, according to the release. Just after midnight, June 6th, the suspect returned to the park and attempted to further confront the resident and made threats. According to arrest affidavits, the suspect said he would kill the victim and rape the victim's wife. Dustin Ray Jackson, 37, has been arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was placed in Tom Green County Jail on a $75,000 bond. This is an ongoing investigation, and no other information will be released at this time, the release stated. San Angelo man has child indecency probation revoked, sentenced in assault and drug charges, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man pleaded guilty Wednesday morning to several charges stemming from a four-hour-long assault on a woman in 2019 with a knife, wooden board, and belt, along with attempting to choke her while she held a child. At 8:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 10th, David Earl Bryant, 30, sat before 51st District Court Judge Carmen Dusek in hopes of taking a plea bargain in two cases. In February 2019, Bryant was sentenced to 4 years deferred adjudication after pleading guilty to a 2018 child indecency charge. About 10 months later, he was arrested on assault and methamphetamine charges from the 2019 incident, records state. Bryant pleaded guilty to breaking his 2019 deferred adjudication and also pleaded guilty to assaulting a family member and possession of methamphetamine in the 2019 assault. As part of the plea bargain, the first-degree charge of felony assault with a deadly weapon was dismissed. Dusek sentenced him to 8 years in jail with a $1,500 fine for breaking his deferred adjudication. She also sentenced him to 5 years in jail for the charge of assault on a family member and 180 days in jail for the methamphetamine charge. These sentences will be served concurrently, so he would be required to serve a maximum of 8 years, though he was credited for 335 days in jail in the 2018 case and 205 days in the 2019 case, about a year and a half worth of time. The State of Texas versus David Earl Bryant. About 3 a.m. November 18, 2019, Bryant, a woman, and three children entered the man's residence in the 8400 block of Pansy Avenue in Grape Creek. Bryant took the woman's cell phone and searched it because he believed she was keeping something from him, record state. He then started to hit her with an aluminum broom handle while she begged him to stop as the assault continued into the living room, according to the affidavit. Brian punched and kicked her face and side before attempting to choke her, record state, then stopped when their 11-month-old son started crying. The man started choking her again while she held the child, then left and returned with a wooden board he began hitting her with, according to the affidavit. He then took off his belt and hit her with that before grabbing a knife and cutting her legs, record state. The woman told police he said he would kill her and wanted her to hurt, according to the affidavit. Soon after, she took the children to school and daycare and dropped Bryant off at a store. She then returned to the daycare and called for emergency assistance as he still had her cell phone, record state. She told officers she was afraid Bryant would continue assaulting her if she tried to retrieve her phone or flee. On November 19, 2019, police attempted to arrest Bryant at an apartment, but he fled through a back door, record state. Officers say they found him hiding between a parked car and a wall in a nearby garage. They also found a plastic bag in his sock containing methamphetamine, according to court documents. Police booked Bryant, 30, into Tom Green County Jail that day on suspicion of assault on a family member by impeding circulation or breath, aggravated assault on a family member with a deadly weapon, and possession of marijuana and methamphetamine. He was indicted on the assault and methamphetamine charges on January 9, 2020. The indictment also showed two previous convictions for assault of a family member in 2013. Bryant previously pleaded guilty in 2018 child indecency case. Bryant faced two counts of indecency with a child, indecency by exposure to a child, and sexual assault of a child in San Angelo in 2018. On February 5th, 2019, he pleaded guilty to the exposure charge and the other charges were dismissed. He received a sentence of 4 years deferred adjudication, a type of probation that could have helped him avoid conviction. Affidavit states Odessa man, Midland woman, arrested after attempting to help parolee escape, by Elena Edgen. An Odessa man and Midland woman have been arrested after a tip led officers to a San Angelo man who was recently arrested during a shooting and drug investigation, according to court documents. On Saturday, June 6th, San Angelo police received a tip that a man wanted for violating parole was at home in the 2000 block of Walnut Street. A witness told officers two people had just arrived from Midland, according to the arrest affidavits. The wanted man told the witness the two were there to take him back to Midland to escape parole warrant apprehension, according to the affidavits. Officers found the man in the attic and an Odessa man and woman in a back bedroom. All three were arrested. Mark Philip Crawley, 28, returned to Tom Green County Jail on Saturday on suspicion of violating parole. He remained in jail with no bond listed as of 1 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. On June 3rd, Crawley was arrested on suspicion of first-degree felony manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. He was released on a $60,000 bond the next day. Jeremy Jeter Porras, 28, of Odessa, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of hindering apprehension or prosecution of a known felon. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $15,000 bond as of 1 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Kaylee Stroud, 24, of Midland, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of hindering apprehension or prosecution of a known felon. She was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $15,000 bond Sunday, according to online jail records. Carl Ray Johnson Recreation Center hosting grand reopening in San Angelo by Rosanna Aguilera. The Carl Ray Johnson Recreation Center is hosting its grand reopening on Monday. The City of San Angelo Parks and Recreation Department will be hosting the reopening at 1103 Farr Street from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Monday, June 15th. Air conditioning units were also recently installed in the center. There will be refreshments, prizes, games, and the Recreation Department's Adult Volleyball League will begin at 6 p.m. Miles man pleads guilty to injuring boy tied to garage door with leash, sentenced to probation, by Elena Edgen. A Miles man has been sentenced to a type of probation after pleading guilty to injuring a San Angelo child by throwing objects at him and tying him to a garage door in 2019, according to court records. On June 3, 2020, Ronnie Shane Williams, 26, pleaded guilty to injuring a child with intent to injure in a 2019 case involving a 6-year-old boy being tied to a garage door with a dog leash, records state. After Winans pleaded guilty, 119th District Court Judge Ben Woodward sentenced him to pay a $1,000 fine and serve 6 days deferred adjudication, a type of probation that could help him avoid conviction if he follows the law. The State of Texas versus Ronnie Shane Winans. On August 8, 2019, a Tom Green County Sheriff's deputy arrived at a residence on West 19th Street in response to a reported case of child abuse. The mother of a 6-year-old boy told deputies her son had bruises on both legs, but the boy would not explain how he was injured, records state. The boy told the deputy his father, Winans, had tied him to a door with a dog leash. The next day, a witness told investigators the boy had been tethered to a garage door with a dog leash around his waist while Winans walked to a store, records state. Another witness, who saw the boy get leashed, said he had asthma. The boy stated he could not breathe because the leash was too tight. It was painful and left a temporary mark around his torso. A woman told investigators the leash was tied in a way that would tighten if he tried to pull away from the door. She released him after 15 minutes, according to court documents. Investigators discovered that the boy had clothes hangers and bottles of tea thrown at him hard enough to leave marks as punishment by Winans for moving around a lot, according to court documents. The boy also stated that other children in the home did not have things thrown at them, saying, "No, Daddy never throws hangers at them, only me," records state. Another witness told investigators Winans hit the boy's legs with the handle of a hammer, according to the affidavit. Winans told officers he did throw hangers at the boy to get his attention and tied him to the garage door with the dog leash in an attempt to keep him from leaving the corner, records state. He also insisted the leash was clipped loosely around the boy's waist and not tight. Deputies arrested Winans on August 15, 2019, on suspicion of injuring a child with intent to commit bodily injury, a third-degree felony. Less than 20 hours later, he was released on a $15,000 bond, according to online jail records. An indictment filed December 4, 2019, charged Winans with injury to a child with intent of bodily injury. This charge is punishable by 2 to 10 years in jail and a fine up to $10,000. Affidavits state 2 Runnels County jailers charged with sexual relationships with inmates, by Elena Edgen, San Angelo Standard-Times, and Bill Hancock, Runnels County Register. A 2-month-long investigation has led to the arrest of 2 former Runnels County jailers on charges of sexual relationships with inmates, according to the sheriff's office. On May 26, Runnels County Sheriff Carl Squires presented evidence that 2 county jail staff had had inappropriate relationships with inmates. The Texas Rangers joined the investigation, and by June 3rd, both former jailers from Winters, Alexander Govia Harrison and Carrie Lamont Hubbard, were arrested. Jail phone calls and video surveillance showed the jailers taking inmates into the medical room for no apparent reason, multiple times between March 12th and April 31st, according to arrest affidavits. Neither jailer reported any medical issues with the inmates during their shifts. Affidavit details Harrison's relationship with inmate, knowledge of other relations. Harrison, 30, told the ranger he took an inmate to the medical room during his shift and had sexual relations. The inmate stated that Harrison took her to the medical room several times, and three or four times ended in sexual relations, according to the affidavit. She told investigators these incidents happened twice before March 31st, once on March 31st, and about a month ago, records state. The inmate also stated she and the other jailer, Hubbard, kissed in a bathroom twice. She also said both jailers and another inmate talked about their relationships. Harrison told the ranger he suspected Hubbard also had sexual relations with another inmate due to how they spoke to each other, according to the affidavit. Harrison was arrested on one count of inappropriate sexual relationship with an inmate or person under supervision in connection to the March 31st incident. He was released on a $10,000 bond June 4th. Harrison had been employed in the jail from July 15th, 2019 to May 27th, 2020. Arrest affidavit reveals phone calls between Hubbard and inmate. Harrison stated that Hubbard and an inmate would go to the medical room and have sex. Then Harrison would enter with another inmate, records state. One inmate stated she had sex with Hubbard on March 31st and performed sexual acts on him three or four times. The last time occurred on March 30th, and the other times were in the weeks prior, according to the affidavits. Hubbard was arrested on suspicion of three counts of inappropriate sexual relationship with an inmate or person under supervision. The affidavits stated the charges occurred on March 17th, 30th, and 31st. Hubbard was released on a $30,000 bond. He had worked for the jail from April 2nd, 2019 to April 2nd, 2020. Kimberly Dunn, a captain and Reynolds County Jail administrator, praised Squires for the way they handled the investigation in an emailed statement. There are two types of sheriffs. One type is weak. They enforce the law with inequality. They arrest some while ignoring the wrongs of others. For various reasons, they sweep things under the rug or look the other way. Their departments soon become dens of corruption, Dunn said. The second is a very strong man, a man filled with integrity and honesty. This type of sheriff applies the same measure of the law to everyone. Carl Squires is that second kind of sheriff. He knows how to clean house and take out the trash when it's necessary. City of San Angelo approves new boating ramps, bathrooms, and showers for Middle Concho Park by John Tufts. City Council members approved awarding more than $1 million for improvements to Middle Concho Park, Middle Concho Drive, on June 2nd. Construction manager Alfonso Torres told officials renovations to the area would include replacing a 30-foot-wide boat ramp with a new 60-foot boat ramp, new expanded parking, replacing existing restrooms with new restrooms that will include showers, a new lift station and approximately 16 feet of sewer line, new boat dock. Torres said those camping at Middle Concho Park will be able to use the new showers and that the old bathrooms would be switched from a septic system to a sewer line. Handicapped parking is also planned for the area. Construction crews also will build a circular drive for easier access of getting boats in and out of the water. The total project budget is $1,024,000, Torres said. We received a grant from Texas Parks and Wildlife Department for $499,500, and we previously had matching funds of $166,500. Torres said an additional $358,000 would be needed to complete the project, which could either be allocated through the Lake Nasworthy Trust Fund, a portion of which had been earmarked for new boat ramps and other lake improvements, or a second option of using only $130,000 from the trust fund and the remaining amount from a separate balance dedicated to other grants. District 1 Councilman Tommy Hebert, who represents the Lake Nasworthy area, recommended council approve the second option. Torres, who noted option 2 would take two city council sessions to approve, recommended city council approve option 1 for immediate use of the funds due to a grant deadline from Texas Parks and Wildlife. To meet Texas Parks and Wildlife's grant deadline, city council approved option 1 under the condition they would replenish $130,000 to the Lake Nasworthy funds later, and passed the motion unanimously 7-0. Affidavit states, San Angelo woman charged in Paul Ann slaying. Daughter reveals death threats, by Elena Edgen. An arrest affidavit has revealed details on what led to the slaying of a 53-year-old San Angelo man on Friday and how his wife was charged with murder. Around 6 p.m. Friday, June 5th, police rushed to the 1200 block of Daniel Street in the Paul Ann neighborhood in northeast San Angelo as a woman reported a domestic dispute. She told dispatch there had been an incident and later said she had shot her husband. During the call, a neighbor called police to report gunfire in the area, records state. Officers found the woman standing over Antonio Fletcher, 53, who had a gunshot wound on his left cheek. He was transported to Shannon Hospital in serious condition, according to the affidavit. Fletcher showed no signs of brain activity and was placed on a ventilator, but died the next day from the gunshot-related injuries, according to the affidavit. The woman's daughter told police the woman had been shooting the residents up for the past few days. The daughter also said the woman made numerous threats to kill Fletcher, her daughter, and herself, according to the affidavit. Police discovered the woman, who was previously arrested on suspicion of assaulting her husband in 2019, had purchased a handgun in April 2020, records state. She also told officers she shot Fletcher, but the affidavit did not list a reason. Lisa Clemens, 38, also known as Lisa Clements and Olivia Thomas Fletcher, was arrested before 1 p.m. Saturday on suspicion of aggravated assault on a family member with a deadly weapon. The charge was upgraded to murder about 4 p.m. that day. Clemens remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $1 million bond as of 10:15 a.m. Monday, June 8th, according to online jail records. Clemens previously arrested on suspicion of hitting Fletcher with gun in 2019. On September 19, 2019, police arrived to the same Daniel Street residence in response to a domestic dispute. They found Fletcher with gashes by his left eye and on his forehead. Clemens fled the scene, but was quickly found and admitted to hitting the man with the gun, according to police. She was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and released from Tom Green County Jail 3 days later on a $30,000 bond. She was not indicted in the case as of Monday, June 8th, according to online jail records. San Angelo ISD to seek community input about Robert E. Lee Middle School name, by John Tufts. Two competing online petitions have drawn in more than 11,000 responses, calling into question the name of a San Angelo ISD middle school for its ties to the Confederacy in the wake of nationwide protests against racism. On June 4th, 10 days after demonstrations ignited around the country following the death of George Floyd, a petition appeared on change.org requesting the West Texas School District consider a new name for Robert E. Lee Middle School, 2500 Sherwood Way. Symbols of the Confederacy have come under increased scrutiny in recent days. The U.S. Marine Corps on Friday ordered all public displays of the Confederate flag removed, a ban that extends to bumper stickers, clothing, mugs, posters, and more. Lee Middle School, as the district refers to it on their official website, caters to students in grades 6 through 8. The campus mascot is listed as the Rebels. The school, built in 1949, has donned the name of the Confederate commander who fought for slavery during the American Civil War. Recent events have shed light on the racial disparities black men and women continue to face on a daily basis years after the American Civil War and Civil Rights Movement. SAISD should reconsider the name of the middle school to reflect something more positive, peaceful, and inclusive, according to the petition statement. Participants leave comments, make suggestions for possible new name. As a parent of minority children, it is important that all San Angelo area children feel welcome and inclusive at their public local schools provided through the SAISD, stated a message on the online petition. Some who signed the petition left comments about why they thought the name should be changed. No school should have a name that is tied to white supremacy and racial oppression. Stop traumatizing black people repeatedly, stated Tiffany Deans of Spring, Texas. Others who responded made suggestions on a possible new name for the campus. I would like to nominate this school to be renamed after Ava Camunez Tucker, the first Hispanic graduate of San Angelo High School in 1930 and a lifelong local philanthropist, wrote Brianna Martinez, who listed her address in Chesapeake, Virginia. By 2 p.m. Monday, June 8th, more than 7,200 people had signed the petition requesting SAISD rename the school. Enough is enough. Competing petition emerges to retain Robert E. Lee as name of school. On June 5th, one day after the first petition emerged, a second petition appeared advocating the name to be left alone. We are tired of everything being changed because of history. It won't change history. If people want change, then they need to change themselves. History won't do it for them. Keep the name of our schools. Enough is enough, according to a message on change.org. The second petition to keep the name Robert E. Lee gathered more than 3,900 signatures as of 2 p.m. Monday. Deleting our history is getting beyond ridiculous, and I will not stand for my town being turned liberal, wrote Mark McCarthy of San Angelo. It's a school. If you're offended by the name, then move somewhere where you're not going to be offended. Lee Middle School is an amazing school, and kids go there and they are thriving. No need to change the name. That's just ridiculous and childish, wrote Shelley Fuson, who listed her address as the United States. San Angelo ISD will seek community input on name. The Standard Times sent an email to district officials and to each San Angelo ISD school board member Monday afternoon seeking their opinion on the matter. On Tuesday, district officials said they would meet privately this week to map out a series of discussions about Robert E. Lee Middle School. A full statement from the board is below. In San Angelo ISD, our responsibility is to children and to guarantee them the personal empowerment of education. San Angelo ISD embraces a school system that honors a culture that supports equity and makes our children feel safe and respected in our facilities. Recent events provide the opportunity to have a discussion with students, families, and staff about the Lee Middle School name. San Angelo ISD and Lee Middle School belong to the people of this community, and our Board of Trustees has initiated a formal and thorough process, including the voices of our students, to hear from the multiple perspectives regarding this important topic. Internal meetings are being held this week, and we will soon release a timeline that will include numerous community forums, feedback sessions, and surveys to gather community input. We will continue to build academic structures and a culture of equity that supports uniqueness. Together, we will stand as one in San Angelo. Protests continue in San Angelo with two NAACP events Saturday, by Colin Murphy. Two events held on Saturday in San Angelo by local chapters of the NAACP signaled no let-up in the effort to express solidarity with the movement for justice and equality sweeping the country. Largely peaceful protests across the nation continued over the weekend in response to the death of George Floyd while in the custody of police in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The events in San Angelo, which followed two protests earlier in the week, started with a march and a demonstration on the campus of Angelo State University, which was attended by hundreds of people. The event was hosted by the ASU chapter of the NAACP. The second event, attended by dozens of people, was hosted by the San Angelo chapter of the NAACP in front of the Ministerial Alliance campus, 1100 Martin Luther King Drive. Chapter President Shirley Spears said it was way past time for change in America. "We are here today because the Constitution of the United States gives us the right to assemble and let our voices be heard," Spears said. "The First Amendment guarantees freedoms concerning religion, expression, assembly, and the right to petition. It guarantees freedom of expression by prohibiting Congress from restricting the press or the rights of individuals to speak freely. Our African-American men and women have been slaughtered at the hands of white oppressors since the Revolutionary War, leaving families to mourn with no recourse." Spears also implored the audience to never forget the memory of several prominent activists who were murdered for their efforts to make a change in the U.S. "These acts of injustice have strangled us, and so we say, we can't breathe, and we are done dying," Spears said. "The reason we are here today is because some of our brightest minds and most effective leaders have been taken from us over the years. We remember Medgar Evers' work to make a change and remember his murder at the hands of white supremacists in Mississippi because he was making a difference and improving the lives of African Americans. Our years of suffering at the hands of police and other races is coming to an end. We cannot stop at these memories. We must remember to take deep breaths to remember when they killed our king, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who had changed the world in only a few years. Yes, we are done dying." Founded in 1909, the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, is the nation's largest and most widely recognized civil rights organization. San Angelo's chapter was founded in 1946. Cowboy Way Jubilee event to bring actors, authors, and musicians to San Angelo in July, from staff reports. The Cowboy Way Jubilee is scheduled to bring the Wild West to West Texas from July 23rd to 26th. Leslie Fisher, the great-great-niece of sharpshooter Annie Oakley, is the producer of the event, which will be held at Fort Concho. It will feature Western stars such as Clue Gulager, Robert Carradine, and Darby Hinton. Booger Brown, co-star of the popular INSP television show Cowboy Way, Alabama, will be one of the younger television personalities attending. There will be authors, poets, and lookalikes, workshops, and demos. The Jubilee features the Westernschannel.com Film Festival, the premiere of a new movie short, discussions, and the larger-than-life people who acted in the best-loved TV series. There will be cowboy music all day, every day. The first annual three-day Cowboy Way Jubilee was held in 2017 in Gene Autry, Oklahoma, followed by 2 years in Ardmore, Oklahoma. The Cowboy Way Jubilee begins Thursday, July 23rd from 5:30 to 9 p.m. with a free sing-along. On Friday, July 24th, the Fort Concho grounds are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with a concert by Martin and Pratt Duo, Caleb Martin and Gary S. Pratt, at 9 p.m. From 7 to 8:30 p.m., there will be a semi-private memorial service for actor James Drury, the Virginian, at the stables at Fort Concho. On Saturday, July 25th, the Jubilee is open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with concerts by Stephen Pride, the youngest brother of Charlie Pride, at 7 p.m., and American Idol performer Kristen Harris with Haley Sandoz at 9 p.m. On Sunday, July 26th, events start at 8:30 a.m. with Cowboy Church. After that, television stars, musicians, poets, authors will be entertaining and meeting fans until 5 p.m. The Sure Shot Awards Banquet is 7 to 10 p.m. in the Fort Concho Stables. Advanced reservations are required for the banquet. There are fees for workshops or special movies, but kids can meet the stars and listen to music free of charge. Visit www.cowboywayjubilee.com to see pricing and information and to register for the event. For more information, read the Cowboy Way Tribune newsletter at the cowboywayjubilee.com website. For a detailed list of protocol and attendee safety recommendations, please also refer to cowboywayjubilee.com. Our first Cowboy Way Jubilee in Texas will be sanitized, social distanced, and the number of people in each building will be limited, Fisher said. Keep in mind, a good number of our celebrities and performers are in the higher risk categories. Bringing face masks and gloves is highly encouraged, as is making these one-time use before laundering. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.